versus the Illinois Department of Corrections.
May it please the court, Dunn and McAuley for plaintiff appellant Dennis Patterson. We're here today after a summary judgment motion that was granted by Judge Mim in the Central District of Illinois. And our position is basically that Dennis Patterson deserves the right to have a jury decide the material facts in this case. And we believe that in this Rehabilitation Act case, there are some material facts that are outcome determinative, primarily on the issue of whether or not Mr. Patterson was perceived to be disabled. We call the court's attention to the fact that in May of 1995, Mr. Patterson did make a request for accommodation in written form. He presented it to the warden at his correctional facility, which is in Galesburg, Illinois. And when he gave it to the warden, we have obviously some disputed facts. Mr. Patterson saying that the warden became irritated and called him a troublemaker, and if people like him caused problems. We have in the evidence just the affidavit from the warden, who acknowledges and admits that he did get the request for accommodation. However, the warden in his affidavit does deny that he was irritated, and he said the things that Mr. Patterson said that he said. So we believe there's some material facts there that this comments from the warden, if believed, are direct evidence that there was a discriminatory intent, and that the facility, through the warden, who was the major officer and employment agent for that facility, was deciding that Mr. Patterson was in fact perceived to be disabled. I think if you look at Judge Mim's decision, I'd like to point out there's a couple of things that Patterson takes issue with, and that's the situation where Mr. Patterson had a disabling situation in 1992 when he first had to take a Manto test for tuberculosis, that he then went to the emergency room at the local hospital. And the court states that the appellant, Mr. Patterson, was not perceived as, or was not disabled for the period from 92 until 95. However, during that same period, Mr. Patterson was not required to take the Manto test that caused the original physical problems in the first place. And the evidence also shows that there's some disparate treatment among employees. The one person that the correctional facility used as an expert witness, Marlene Guthrie, who was a medical administrator and a registered nurse, herself tests positive as a result of the Manto test.
Just unclear here. He took this test and had an adverse reaction.
Yes.
But then years passed. He continued to work.
Yes.
Where were they perceiving him to be disabled during that time?
Well, not during that time. They perceived him to be disabled in 95, again, when they put the requirement that the Manto test was then required as a condition of employment.
What's the disability?
Well, the disability...
They perceived somebody to be disabled means that they thought he had a disability. What was the disability they thought he had?
Well, to us, the perception is, and their main thing is, they're obviously concerned about an epidemic of tuberculosis. There was some x-rays.
Are you saying they thought he had tuberculosis? That was the perception?
Or that he had something, because there was nothing that's shown medically, and there's even through the medical opinion of the correctional facility plus the medical opinion sought by Mr. Patterson himself, there is no showing of what really caused his physical reaction. I mean, you can... I guess I would compared something to the fact that, you know, every Labor Day we had the telethon for muscular dystrophy, and I guess we had the telethon to raise money because nobody knows what the cause is, but we don't say because a person has any one of the forms of MD that they're not or would not be disabled. What we have here in this situation is we really have the correctional policy saying we have this policy because we're concerned about tuberculosis and you have to take the Manto test. Now, they do have, and I was like I was saying with Marlene Guthrie, they really don't apply the requirements across the board even-handedly. They do say that if you test positive on the Manto test, then you take a drug therapy and you do that for 6 months or the period, and then we'll let you continue to work. Marlene Guthrie, who administers that testing program, herself has tested positive as a result of a Manto test, but they've never required her to take the prophylactic medication procedure. What we've had, at least from the Department of Corrections, is they've had their own medical expert who in 95 had made some suggestion that you take this Manto test or the ingredients of it under the emergency room situation, which admittedly Mr. Patterson did not go along with because he had already been sent to the emergency room receiving that Manto test, so he was obviously hesitant to take it again. So the point being was the same medical doctor that they used as an expert witness for summary judgment in 2001, his medical opinion, which is in the record, did not again use that procedure, just started talking about a series of chest x-rays which could be sufficient, which Mr. Patterson had been taking. In other words, Mr. Patterson, during this period that he was working, was following all the prescribed procedures for anybody that had been a positive reactor. I mean, there was no reason to distinguish him from a positive reactor.
But he never was never had a positive reaction, though, did he?
No, he was sort of in this middle ground. You might have a negative reaction, you might have a positive reaction. He was sort of in this middle ground where they didn't say it's positive, but yet he ends up in the emergency room at the hospital, you know, immediately after taking that test.
And didn't he say it was from an allergy or something?
There is some medical opinion. They call it an allergic reaction.
Right.
But they still don't know what caused it. It hasn't been defined medically as it was a result of an allergy. They just don't know what caused his physical reaction.
Right.
So I'll save my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Mary Patricia Kearns on behalf of the Illinois Department of Corrections. Mr. Patterson did not fall into any middle ground. The reaction that he suffered in 1992 is not fully explained in the record. It is categorized as an allergic reaction by some of the medical testimony. However, it's not consistent with a positive reaction for tuberculosis. So there's no evidence in the record indicating that Mr. Patterson had tuberculosis, that he ever had tuberculosis. He's never tested positive for tuberculosis, and there's ample evidence in the record to support the conclusion that the district court made, which is that the Department of Corrections did not perceive or regard Mr. Patterson as having, certainly not as having tuberculosis, and not as having a record of substantially limiting impairment or being regarded as having a substantially limiting impairment. And it's critical that we focus on the definition of disability.
So that takes it out of the Rehabilitation Act.
Absolutely. The Rehabilitation Act does not protect any impairment, a person who suffers from an impairment. It must be a substantially limiting impairment. Mr. Patterson has presented no evidence whatsoever to establish that he suffered from an impairment that is substantially limiting in a major life activity.
Your argument is that he took the test had an allergic reaction which lasted for a relatively short period of time, and that was it.
Exactly. And there's also a question in the record as to what caused that reaction. His symptoms were not necessarily fully consistent with an allergic reaction, although some of the medical evidence indicates it could have been. But they also thought it might have been something completely
It really doesn't make any difference as long as the department didn't conceive it as a tuberculosis and a disabling.
Correct. Correct.
So who cares what, I mean, in the sense of this lawsuit?
Right. That's absolutely the point. It doesn't matter what caused the reaction. It doesn't matter whether it was consistent with allergy. It's not a substantially limiting impairment. Mr. Patterson refers to this alleged statement by Warden Gilmore that he was a troublemaker and he didn't like people like him. But even if this is not a material fact because it's not outcome determinative. Even if there were a trial on this fact question and a fact finder determined that the warden made this statement, it doesn't establish that the department regarded him as having a substantially limiting impairment. The department regarded him as recalcitrant. He was refusing to comply with a job-related...
So time came up again, and he was supposed to be tested for tuberculosis after some period of time from when he had the first reaction.
Well, correct. From 1992, after he had the first reaction, he was allowed to be excused from the testing requirement during 93 and 94. And he did submit chest x-rays. That was permitted by the department. In 95, the department's policy changed because there had been a recent increase, a surge in active TB cases. And the decision was made that they would, for inmates who refused the test, those inmates would be placed in segregation. Employees were required to submit to the test unless they had tested positively previously. Marlene Guthrie was not required to take the preventive treatment because at the time that she tested positively, she did not work for the Department of Corrections. She never received a positive test for the Department of Corrections. She submitted many years of annual chest x-rays, and she was not required to submit to the preventive treatment. And Mr. Patterson made no disparate treatment claim in his complaint. There just isn't one there. So disparate treatment shouldn't be an issue here today. Again, even if if Warden Gilmore made the statement, which is disputed, that Mr. Patterson was a troublemaker, it doesn't establish that he was regarded as having a substantially limiting impairment. Even Mr. Patterson acknowledged in his deposition that he was terminated for refusing to comply with the test. Department of Correction offered him three alternatives. He could take the PPD time test, which contained no preservative, which was suspected to be the cause for the reaction if it was an allergic reaction. He could have taken the Monovac test, and he could have taken the MAN2 test with a heparin lock under a doctor's supervision. He refused, saying he thought it was stupid because he thought he should be able to submit a chest x-ray in lieu of the skin test. Chest x-rays will only show up if there is active, or will only indicate active TB, and there's a latency period. You can be exposed to TB and be asymptomatic and not have it show up on a chest x-ray, and that's the time period when the prophylactic treatment should be done, and Mr. Patterson's approach precludes the Department of Corrections from protecting Mr. Patterson, the other inmates, and the other correctional workers in the facility. More importantly, in order to be protected under the Rehabilitation Act with evidence that you suffer from an impairment that is substantially limiting in a major life activity, if Mr. Patterson asserts that his major life activity is working, he must establish that he was excluded from a broad range of jobs. There's no evidence anywhere in the record as to what other jobs he would have been excluded from except for this particular job. Institution of the mandatory TB skin testing is job-related, it's safety-related, and that's permissible under the federal regulations and under case law that indicates that if it's if it's job-related and if it's consistent with business necessity, then it's an appropriate rule. Finally, there's absolutely no evidence that punitive damages could be appropriate at all in this case. There is no evidence that the department's decision was motivated by evil motive or intent. The Barnes versus Gorman case, which is relied upon by Mr. Patterson, was argued yesterday in the Supreme Court. The Solicitor General of the United States filed an amicus brief in that case, arguing that punitive damages against public entities is inappropriate because it punishes taxpayers, who are the very people that the law was designed to protect. I've covered all my points. If there are no further questions, I'll relinquish the remainder of my time.
You want to ask him, Terry?
Thank you.
Counsel?
Just briefly, Your Honor, on the issue we brought up about punitive damages, obviously Mr. Patterson is relying on the Eighth Circuit decision, which we've provided to you as the basis for our position. Let me say that, and to the extent that this case goes to the perceived nature, there does not have to be, for perceived disability, any really limiting or really any sort of disabled, as long as the individual believes that the person is substantially limited. In this situation, you have the Department of Corrections saying, we're concerned about an outbreak of tuberculosis. We are going to have a blanket policy. You either take the Manto test or you don't work here. One of the things that they look at and they say, well, the person was discharged for insubordination. We say you have to take a little step back and say you can't use insubordination when the reason underlying it is something that's based upon discrimination. So otherwise, if you could use insubordination, I mean, you wouldn't need any other rule to get rid of any employee that you wish to get rid of at any time. So we again, I guess, reemphasize the point that what we're asking for in this appeal is that Mr. Patterson be able to present his facts and evidence to a jury, and that this court allow him to present his case to the jury. And the fact that we believe that the warden's statement to Mr. Patterson, if believed, is direct evidence that one can interpret from his statement that there's an acknowledgement of discriminatory intent by the Department of Corrections. And thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel. We will take the case under advisement.